You are welcome. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Use me as a vessel. As I speak today, let it be your word. Let it be your word, Lord. Take control. Take control. Fill this place. Let your glory shine. Let your glory manifest here. Lord, it's your time. It's your space. It's your place. Take control. Use me. If there is anything more of you, take it away and use me and take control. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. My name, I'm Paul Senkitimbo. I am from Uganda. I am married to my beautiful wife. She's called Mulindwa Edith Kitimbo. We have three children, Philip Senkitimbo, Paul Senkitimbo, and Pauline Kitimbo. They sent greetings to you. As I also say, good morning to you and praise God. Thank you for this opportunity, Pastor, and your wife. Thank you for giving me this precious moment to be before you. It's not an easy, it's just the grace of God that someone can give you his altar to preach, to speak. I give glory to God. May God answer all of your prayers. May God answer all of your prayers. Brothers and sisters, today my topic is about the breath of God. The breath of God. Have you ever asked yourself why, whenever either you have won, you have passed your exam, or you are going through a certain situation, and there is an action you do. That's like either you sit on your table, your bed, or anywhere, and you say, you breathe in. Oh God, how will I finish this? How will I go through this? How have I overcome this? Have you ever meditated? Why do you say that statement? Why do you go? And it's always either bad or good. Even if it's in celebration, someone will breathe and you'll say, oh my God, it is done. How is it going to be done? Now, today, my topic is about receiving the breath of God. The word breath in Hebrews is pronounced or reads, is read as rah. Rah. It means spirit. That's in Hebrews. That word means spirit. It's God's spirit. God's essence for life. It's like wind. That's the word rah. That's what it means. Rah. I may not have the right pronunciation, but at least you can see it. And when you go to the Greeks, the Greek pronounce the word breathe as nama. Nama. That's the word. It also means spirit. Breathe or spirit. For them it is spirit. And that's where you come with the verse that says, at first the world was void, covered with the breath was hovering on the void that had life that it had never seen. That's the spirit of God that was hovering. But the Hebrews or the Greeks used the word nama or ra. The spirit was hovering on the surface over something, over the world that was void. The earth was void. There was life inside, but nothing could do, because there was no life. There was no life. But so the spirit was moving around. Now, that's why today I'm talking to you. Why do you have to receive the breath of God in your life? Why do you need the breath of God every now and then? When we have three types of breath as Christians, or whoever is born, we have three breaths of life. The first breath is the breath that brings humanity. That's the breath when you were born. Everyone, the moment you are born, you begin breathing. That's the breath that you receive on earth, the moment humanity comes in. The second breath is the breath that comes as a result of redemption, salvation. That brings breath. That's the breath when you accept Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. That is the second breath you need as a child of God. As a Christian, you need that breath. Then there is another breath that you need that will continue moving with you until it's a continuous breath. That's the breath of the Holy Spirit. In your life, you need this third breath, because if you don't have it, then the world becomes a little bit hard of you. You can go through it, but some things may be a little bit hard with you. Let us see the first breath that came to humanity. In Genesis 2, verse 7, this is where we see the first breath coming in to humanity. It reads, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." That's when we were born. That's when I was born. That's the breath you received the day you were brought on earth by your mother. The day your mother conceived you, that's the breath we received. We get it right from the first day when Adam was created. You remember, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image." But the next, when they created him, he was not a living thing until they breathed in him. That's why you need that breath. We have that breath by virtue of God breathing in us. What comes out of that is God is a creator. God created you, he created me. But after creating you, creating me, he gives you what? Life. As time goes on, now we sinned against God. Problems came. Diseases came. Troubles came. You moved through a lot of things. But God said, "You have sinned. There is no way I can help you to revive you. There is no way I can give you life more." He sent his Savior. He sent Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ. Because of the sin man had sinned against him. Satan, or the devil, tricked Eve, and that's the beginning of the suffering of what? Man or humanity. However, during that suffering, during whatever you went through, God says, "No, I have to redeem my creation. I have to give him life." And when we read in John 3:16. What God did, he sent to you. He sent to you Jesus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Why? When you sinned, you could not access the eternal life. You were suffering. I was suffering. We were going through a lot of pain. But the coming of Jesus gives us two points. One, I will have life. Life here and life eternally. So there is security that you have both life on earth and life on the eternal life. That's what God gives us. That's why he wants you to believe in him. That's why he says, "Yes, you have sinned against me. But now can you change? Can you follow Jesus? Can you turn away from whatever you are doing and follow me? Can you follow my rules? Can you be in line with what God wants you to do? Can you have that life of abundance, that glorious life when you are following me. That's when he tells us to follow who? Jesus. He is an example to humanity. He came in a human form. So that when you believe in him, you receive what God intended us to have. God, he wanted us to have that life. Life without sickness. Life without suffering. Life without regretting why you were in that situation. But when we sinned, we experienced that. The security is when you receive Jesus, then hope comes. Then faith comes. Then healing comes. Deliverance comes. You are sure that God is with you. There is security. Your movement is secured. There is protection with you when you receive what? Jesus. He gives us life. You receive salvation and redemption. As a Christian, sometimes we lack, we have that difficulty in breathing because of maybe you are tormented. You may be going through, I can give an example of maybe it's a broken marriage. Maybe you have a disease which is a broken heart. You have a heart problem. You have a lung problem. Maybe your business is not working out. Maybe there is a broken family. You had all of family members are no longer with you. Maybe you helped someone to be, but instead of saying it's okay, he broke your heart. Maybe there is that situation you went through that needs a breath of God. So you have difficulty. The only solution is to come to God and say, breathe in me. I need that breath of life. Bring hope in me. Maybe your faith went down because of the situation you went through. Believe me or not, when you receive salvation, your faith is up. But because of what we go through, sometimes the challenges, your faith goes down. You begin to use your humanity to solve problems instead of trusting God, trusting Jesus, trusting that whoever began this work in me will finish it. You want yourself to solve this problem. That's when your faith is down. When hope is gone, you say you need the breath of God to revive that life, to revive that thing, the dream you had for the job. There is a job you dreamed of. There is a marriage you hoped for. There is that thing you said, I will have it. But because of the challenges, it may do what? It may die. You need the breath of God. God. Remember, as a Christian, we live by faith, hope, and love. I've explained, faith may reduce. And when faith reduces, goes down, hope is gone. You become hopeless. Hope is gone because you don't have the faith that it will come. I will make it. So hope is lost. Why do we need Jesus in our life? Why do we need the hope? Why do we need the new breath in us? Let us go to John 20 from 19 to 22. These are from 19 to 22. Okay, let me begin from there. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, quote the word fear. Do you know why fear? The work of the devil or the weapon of the devil, of Satan, is to create fear in you. The moment your fear rises up, your faith goes down and hope is lost. These are the disciples who had moved with Jesus. They had seen the miracles. They had seen healing. They had seen deliverance. Even you read about the lady who was bleeding for 12 years. She had been healed. The blind had recovered their sight. The deaf, miracles had happened. But now, Fear is engulfing them. There is a fear. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace. Peace be with you." Meaning in whatever situation, when you are fear, you have that fear in you. Jesus is just by your side. But he needs you to speak to him, to invite him, to call him, to activate that I can make it. Then, let us see what followed. After he said this, he showed them his hands and said, "The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord." Do you see how it's your time to call Jesus, to go back on your knees, to lift up your hands and say, "Jesus, this has happened. My lungs are not working. Every now I'm going to hospital. I am on dialysis. The family is broken. My marriage is not working out. Prostitution is eating me or my children." Oh, what? That's when you need to call what? Jesus to come to you. When he appears, joy is restored. Faith, hope is restored. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Do you see that breath they are receiving? When you invite God, when you invite Jesus, you need that breath in you. You need him to breathe, to take away this fear, to take away that pain you are going through, to revive your dream, to revive that business. When he breathes on you, the Holy Spirit will always be at your door, will be with you, will work in you. Because he's saying, "He sent me, now I'm sending you." But they were locked inside the door. They were locked. That means anyone could do something outside. And maybe, assuming they just put gas on that building, they would all burn. If a hurricane could come and sweep away, they would all die. They were inside. But now after breathing in them, he said, "I'm sending you away." Meaning hope was restored. Faith was restored. Now they had the audacity to say, "Let's go and preach the word of God." They had the audacity to say, "Now my business has been down. It's okay. I will rise up. My marriage is not working. It's okay. It's going to work out. My life, where I am going to hospital, diabetes is affecting me. No, God will heal me." That's when you trust God to do a miracle in your what? In your life. That's when he breathes in you. The dead cells in your body, remember we said God is a creator. He will create those new cells in your body. He will create, and you will see the healing of your heart, healing of your lungs, healing of your intestines. When he breathes in you, because he's a creator, he gives you life. Life. Then, we can go, but there is a statement that Jesus said before he could send the Holy Spirit. He said, "It's better." That's in John 16:7. After you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he said, "It's better I go away. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Do you? Let's go down. Who is he? Is saying who? He is saying, the helper, he is saying, he is the Holy Spirit. That if I go, then I will send who? The Holy Spirit. Remember we said, when he breathed on them, they received the what? The Holy Spirit. If you go to John 6:63, this is the helper he is saying. "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. When he gives you, when he will send the Holy Spirit will give you what? Life. That's the third breath. And with that third breath of God, that's when you receive what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will make you to remember what I have taught you. If you go to John 14:26, he says, John 14:26 says, the helper or the advocate will make you to remember whatever I have taught you. And when you remember, you will do more than what I have done. What did Jesus taught them? Remember, they had seen miracles happening. They had seen healing. They had seen delivering. They had been taught how to trust in God to overcome everything. So if the helper or the advocate comes upon you, if God breathes in you and you receive the Holy Spirit, that means life is restored. You will see that problem which has been very big, which has been like a mountain, reducing, because you know, you remember that I had this hard situation. And when I called Jesus, when I received the Holy Spirit, I overcame it. Even this one which I'm going through, I will do what? I will overcome. Even that pain you are going through, you will overcome it. That's when you call the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying, you will remember. Let me give you an example of a person who suffered left, right, and center. I know you have read about Job. Job was a servant of God. But in Job chapter 1 from 8 to 12, Satan goes to God. He says, God has said, have you seen my servant Job? Then Satan says, but he trusts in you. You have given him wealth. You have protected him. He is successful in everything. Then he said, but if I deal with him, that is Satan discussing with God. But if you give him to me, then he will curse you. God said, no. Go, don't hurt him. Job suffered left, right, and center. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost the children he had. They all died. Every rich Job had went away. He was finished. He was suffering. He suffered for 9 months when Satan was tormenting him. Satan tormented him for 9 months. But one thing Job did, he said, that's in Job 33:4, he said, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me what? Life. I don't know what you are going through. Because when we come here to church, sometimes we are just expectant to receive. You know the situation you go through. We may see you, we may laugh, but you may have lost hope. You may be suffering. You may be in your house, you don't speak to any person. You may be having that kidney disease. Your business may be after COVID. Went down, it's no more. If you were driving your car, maybe you got an accident. You have these bills which you don't know how they can be paid. Your family is divided. You don't even maybe talk to your children. You don't know even, maybe even your marriage is in shatters. But my friend, There is a breath of God when you call that breath. When God breathes in you, you receive the Holy Spirit. And that life can be restored. That life you hoped to have, it can be restored. No matter what you have experienced, no matter the pain, if Job, who was a friend of, he was a friend of God. He says, my servant, he went through this pain. This pain, you may be saying, I am not able to conceive. Why am I not getting married? Why are my children not getting married? Why are they not getting their partners? No. There is a life you want. If you call the breath of God, if you invite, you ask God to breathe in you, God will restore. God is a creator. God can make that barren womb to have children. If Sarah at 90 could conceive, what about you? Even if that business, they say it's no more. Even if your academic qualification is no, says you can't make it, you can go back at school if God breathes in your life. If God, you invite him. If the Holy Spirit comes to you, my friend, my brother, my pastor, life will be restored. He will give you life. He will restore whatever you lost. Even if hope is gone, God can restore. We see Job in 42. It's not here. But Job in 42, chapter 42. He was restored everything in double. Even the children that had died. When the children he got after the suffering, the girls were more beautiful than the one he had. And the Bible says, no one has ever seen those children, beautiful children, even today. We see beautiful girls, but the children Job got after the suffering, when the breath of God, when the breath of the Almighty gave him life, was more double. His riches doubled. Everything he doubled. So, my work today, my duty today, if I would have told you, let me just do this. If I close my eyes and I breathe in, there is something, that heaviness on your heart. You may be suffering of hunger. You have failed to forgive that person who did bad to you. If you ask God to breathe in you, if you ask God to breathe in you, in fact, I am going to take it, if someone can join me, it's okay. It's okay. But if you can just breathe in for 7 times, when we breathe in, you are receiving from the Creator. And when you are breathing out, you are bringing it back. You are raising it back to the source of breath. That's why I started by saying, breathe in. When you breathe in, at every situation, you are letting it go. You are receiving from the source of life, and you are letting it go. That hunger, that heaviness, that burden on your heart, that disease, I'm going to do it 7 times. If you can join me. I know your heart will be released. I know the Holy Spirit will dwell in you, if you can. It's just a request. The Holy Spirit will come to you. God, Holy Spirit, fill them, fill them, fill them. I know you receive that peace. You receive that peace of mind. You receive that peace in your heart. If you invite the breath of God, if you call, if at a particular moment in your distress, in your hunger, when you don't know what comes next, just ask God to breathe in you. I know the breath of God in your room, if you take 1 hour and ask for the breath of God, the Spirit of God will come upon you. There will be that healing. There will be deliverance. There will be overcoming that obstacle, that disease, that heaviness, that heaviness on your heart, that unforgiveness, that difficult situation you think it cannot go away, that disease, God will give it life. Jesus will breathe in you. The Hebrews, what they do, they say it's a time of meditating about the breath God gives. When you breathe in, they normally close their eyes and they breathe in. It's not about that they don't know what they are doing. Yes, God gave us we can breathe freely, but it's a time of meditating from the source. It's my prayer for you that whatever you have been going through, that business that you think it cannot be revived, let God breathe in you. Let the Holy Spirit come in you. Let God visit you. That heaviness, that disease, that dysfunctional organ, body organ, I pray, let the Holy Spirit breathe in you. Let the Holy Spirit breathe in you. Let your marriage, let God breathe in that marriage. In your relationship, in your dream, in everything you want to be worked on, let God breathe on you. Let the Holy Spirit breathe in you. Let the Holy Spirit breathe in you. Let the Holy Spirit breathe in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. It's my time as I conclude. I would still say, thank you for giving me this opportunity. It may have been a normal, you may not have expected it, maybe the way it has gone. But I pray that God answers your prayer. I pray that God breathes in you, in your endeavor, in your life. Let there be restoration. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to serve you. Thank you, man of God. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mama. It's not, you don't just wake up and say, person, you come and preach. It's just the grace of God. I don't take it for granted. May God bless you abundantly. As you go back today, may you have a peaceful journey to your home. Thank you. God bless you.